Good morning. Thank you so much for coming out today and worshiping God with us. A beautiful day that God has blessed us with. Wonderful opportunity to worship Him, to open our Bibles, and hopefully to be drawn closer to Him. I appreciate you as a congregation so much. You have been a light in this community for a number of years, and pray for God's good work to continue to be with you. Appreciate so much Jerry and Paula and the good work that they're doing here. Jerry's unique, and I appreciate him for that uniqueness. You know, God tells us that every one of us, our DNA is different, and I know that to be true, but I appreciate him and his efforts. I know what it takes to stand up here week after week and share the word of God. It's a blessing, it's a privilege, but it's a work. And I appreciate him and the efforts that he takes. Jerry Jr., appreciate the song leading. You know, every preacher needs some encouragement, and I know you give Jerry encouragement, and I've been blessed as well with a wonderful wife that is a tremendous encouragement, but I also have some cheerleaders with me this morning, and I appreciate the four hands. We've got four hands with us today. Marcia, the mother, and two of her children, David and Christy, and I appreciate y'all so much. You've been very encouraging. They're actually members of Cree Hall. They come to Radnor every Sunday morning, and I just appreciate them. And they probably have heard this lesson, but that's okay. I've been working on a series of lessons actually for several months and still working on it. And the series is entitled Don't Settle, the top of the slide up there. And I've looked at different areas. Don't settle for substitutes. We live in a world where it seems like a lot of folks just try to get by. There's not that commitment. There's not that dedication. There's not that determination that it seems like the world used to have. This morning, our lesson's going to be entitled, Don't Settle for Failure. If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 5, in just a moment, we're going to look at a familiar story, but one that I believe hopefully we can apply to our life and see how that maybe things haven't gone exactly as we wanted in life, but that's not the end. That things can change. And that's what I want us to focus on, that fact. If I were to ask you, and it's a rhetorical question, a question I already know the answer to, but if I were to ask you, how many people in here have failed? Everyone in here that is of the age of accountability, of knowledge, would raise your hand, wouldn't you? Failure is just a part of life. I asked this question just a few weeks ago at Radnor, and I'm going to ask you, and I want to see a show of hands on this question. The question is this. And it surprised me when I asked this at Radnor and the answers that I got, especially some of the answers that I got later on. How many of you failed your driver's test the first time you took it? Raise your hand tall. I'm not embarrassing. Raise them one more time. Let me see them again. Now, that one doesn't surprise me over here to my left. There's several that I raised mine. I failed my driver's test when I first took it. You know, I learned to drive. My dad taught me to drive. We only had one vehicle, a 1970 or so Ford pickup truck, standard transmission, 3-speed shifter on the column. Didn't have power brakes, didn't have power steering, didn't have power anything. And I learned to drive that with the clutch. But I knew that I wasn't going to be probably successful at getting my license driving that vehicle, you know, let out on the clutch and give it gas. You know, it's kind of like hump and bump and kill the engine. So we decided to borrow my grandfather's 1970 Torino to go get my test in. Automatic transmission, you know, power, everything. So we get there over there on Murfreesboro Road, the Highway Patrol Center. The lady that's administering the test sits in the front seat. They actually had a trainee that sat in the back seat of the automobile. And she says, pull out on this road, go up here to the stop sign, take a left, go down to the traffic light, take another left. You know, it's just one circle, left, 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 actually, and come back into the Highway Patrol Station there. So I do everything, you know, I check the mirrors, I buckle the seat belt, you know, two hands, 10 and 2 on the wheel, pulling out, doing everything just like they say, go up to the stop sign, take a left, go to the traffic light, take another left, the light's green, I take a left, I'm pulling down. As God is my witness, this lady asked me, what color was that light? It was green. I know what green is. I'm not colorblind. I didn't say it like that. It was green. And then, quote unquote, she said, the light on the pole there in the median. And my answer was, what pole? What light? There was a turning light then. Traffic signals weren't like they are now. There was a traffic light there in the median for turning left. That light was red. I didn't get my license. Failure. We've all failed. It's part of life, isn't it? Luke chapter 5 here. You have Peter, Andrew, James, and John. They're the four fishermen that Jesus chose. These are professional fishermen. That's how they make their living. But that particular night, they failed. I want us to note about four things from these verses of Scripture that I hope will help you in your life, especially if you're maybe failing. Maybe you're going through some things that you don't want to be going through. Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled their boats so that they began to sink. What a simple story that God has blessed us with. One that we've learned since a child. Fished all night, caught no fishes. Failure. First thing I want you to know is failure is inevitable. Maybe you really haven't experienced any failures as such in life. Maybe you don't have any memories of things that went awry or went wrong yet. It's coming. I don't mean that to be discouraging. It's simply something to to kind of store in the back of your head, because when that day comes, you're going to be ready for it, at least to a degree. Well, what is it that you read there in verse 5? Look at verse 5 very carefully. Look at what, this is, I think, the New King James Version that I'm reading from here. The New King James Version here says, "We have toiled all night." Now, I don't know about you, but when I see and read that word toiled, it kind of carries with it the idea they knew this was their livelihood. They were trying everything. This isn't recreational fishermen. They're doing what they can do. We toil. We try. Have you ever tried and just failed? Does it sometimes seem like the harder you try, the more you fail, that the worse things become? I remember Brother Walter Gregg from Gladstone years ago, he would always say, someone said, "Cheer up, it could get worse." And he said, "Sure enough, I cheered up and it got worse." Sometimes life's like that. Failure. It's going to come. It really is. There are several avenues of learning. You look over here at this passage, Matthew chapter 25. I'm so thankful for YouTube. I love YouTube. I'm still a do-it-yourselfer and like to do a lot of things. You can find out how to do anything from the internet. That's one of the avenues of learning that we're blessed with. You can watch other people and you can learn from them. One of the best ways to learn is observation, isn't it? Another way is to just try something. Matthew chapter 25, you remember the parable that Jesus tells? 5 talent, 2 talent, 1 talent men? 5 talent went out, worked, gained 5 other, 2 talent, gained 2 more. But the 1 talent man, what did he do? He went out, dug a hole, buried the money. "Here's your money. I was afraid. I knew that you were a hard man, that you reaped where you've not sown. You gathered where you had not strawed, and I was afraid." What was he afraid of? He was afraid of failure, wasn't he? There's a saying, you know, you stand up here, you talk for a long time, hard to remember things. You remember this one thing. Remember this. I love this saying. What would you do if you knew you could not fail? I want you to mark that somewhere in your head and keep it there. What would you do if you knew you could not fail? You see, failure really keeps a lot of people from doing a lot of things that otherwise they would love to try. You're going to fail. I mean, they're out there fishing all night, and they didn't catch any fish. Yes, that 1 talent man probably would have failed, but he should have tried. And the master wasn't pleased with him for not trying, was he? Failures. They're a part of life. You know, if I were to ask, who's a great basketball player that you remember? I looked at several lists of professional basketball players. On just about, or I believe it was, every list that I looked at, the number one player that was voted by most people was Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan. Probably a name you've heard of. Back in 1997, there was a Nike commercial on television. Some of us remember that commercial. Michael Jordan walks out onto a basketball court. You know, there's no cheers. There's no one in the stands there. And this is what he says as he walks out there. He says, I've missed 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to make the winning goal. In other words, he had the last shot. You know, the clock's running down. Time is ending. 26 times I've been trusted to make that game-winning shot. And I missed. I failed over and over again in my life. And then, he says in that Nike commercial, that's why I succeed. Failure, it's inevitable. It's going to come. Don't let it keep you. You look in the Bible, John chapter 18, verse 17 is up here. Peter, he's out there warming himself by the fire. You're one of his disciples. Nah, I'm not. Peter denied the Lord, didn't he? Not once, not twice, three times. Failure. All right, we move on from failure is inevitable to the second thing that I want you to note from Luke chapter 5 here. Failure is inevitable. It's going to come. But giving up is optional. Look at verse 2. I love verse 2. Luke chapter 5. They've been fishing all night. And now, verse 2 says that they're doing what? They're washing their nets. You know, you read a lot of commentaries about these verses of Scripture. And I disagree with what most are saying about verse 2. Most say in verse 2 that they were quitting, that they'd given up. I think the opposite. In verse 2, they're washing their nets. Why did they need to wash their nets? All right, these nets were very large. My understanding, they could have been 100 feet or so. The nets were used to actually literally drag the bottom of the water there, the Sea of Galilee, Lake Gennesaret, fresh water. A lot of items were caught in the net. The nets needed to be clean. They're washing their nets. Why? Why are they washing their nets? They're washing their nets to get ready for the next opportunity. They weren't quitting. They hadn't given up. They're simply getting ready for the next time. Giving up's optional. You know, I've got my driver's license. I did. Went back, passed it the next time. How many times have you failed and then later succeeded? If you give up, then that's it, isn't it? Giving up is optional. I think we need to consider decisions very carefully. Think about it. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Trust the Lord. Don't allow a temporary setback. I believe a lot of folks allow situations that are temporary to cause them to make a decision that's going to be eternal. And that's sad. You know, the sun's always shining. It really is. I kind of envy pilots. airline pilots. Because on the darkest of days, the dreariest of times, you know, they can lift that plane up above and they break through the clouds. And if you've ever flown, well, what a beautiful sight that is when you finally make it through the clouds and there's the sun as bright as it ever was. Don't allow a situation that is just maybe at the moment overwhelming. Don't allow that to stop you. These fishermen were getting ready for the next time. Just get prepared. Make sure you keep going. Psalms chapter 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I know that any number of you have experienced failure. I know you're facing difficult days. I mean, I just know it. I know it. But don't allow that to define who you are. Giving up, it's optional. It really is optional. So if you're not going to give up, then the third thing is this. Look at verse 5. The third thing is starting again is necessary. Just make up your mind. I'm going to try again. Look at what verse 5 says. At your word, I will let down the net. What is it that Peter, Simon, had just said? He said, we fished, we toiled all night, but we didn't catch any fish. We failed. But we're going to try again. At your word. Starting again. You know, one thing that amazes me, and I've not read that many biographies at all, but I've heard it said about folks that are successful and they failed, that the majority of them would become successful again because they knew that, you know, they made it once, they could make it again. And that's true in life. Here they are, they're out in that boat and they're giving it another shot. They're doing the best that they can. Winston Churchill, he said this. He says, success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. And it really is, isn't it? Theodore Roosevelt said this. He said, it's hard to fail, but it's worse never to have tried to succeed. It's worse. I wish. What if? So many people in life look back and have regrets because they just didn't do what they wanted to try to do. Starting again, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. 1 Kings chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. I want you to pay particular attention to that passage. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 4 and 5. We remember David. We remember some of the choices that he made. We remember as a young shepherd boy and the giant there and David going to battle against that giant and becoming victorious, wasn't he? We remember all of the stories about David and all of the victories that he had. 1 Kings chapter 15. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem by setting up his son after him and establishing Jerusalem. Because, listen to this, because David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. But the passage doesn't end there. All the days of his life, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. It's there. You can't erase it. You don't want to erase it. It's there for a reason. And what I'm talking about is this matter of failure. What a failure that was in the life of David. I mean, God had blessed him so much. David was even told, if that was not enough, I would have given you more and more. But David wanted Bathsheba, didn't he? And he got Bathsheba. And he tried to cover up that sin. And it's there. And you can't erase it. And that's kind of the way failure is. You don't really want to erase it. It's there for a reason. It's there to serve as a step to success that you learn from it. And so when Jesus told them there to throw those nets, cast those nets, lower those nets again, they did that. Now, the last thing, the fourth thing here, as you look in Luke chapter 5, is this. This is very important. Well, what we've looked at is failure is inevitable. You need to, understand giving up is optional, that starting again is necessary. But look at verse 4. This is very important as well. Luke chapter 5. What was it that they were told? They were told to launch out into the deep. When you fail, and you will, be mindful of the road that led to failure. Be mindful of the reason why you failed. If you keep doing the same things that you did before, then there's a tremendous probability that you're going to end up in the same situation that you ended up in before. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, I've heard that defined as insanity, and that's a good definition. You have to change. You have to try something different. Launch out into the deep. Go somewhere different. Maybe it's your friends. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's just something up here that needs to change. Make sure you understand that you've got to take sometimes some different roads. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Evil company really does corrupt good morals or manners. I mentioned at the beginning of our lesson, it's good to have those that are encouraging you, those that want you to succeed, those that don't want you to fail. Changes are tough, aren't they? They really are. With God's help, anyone can change. I look at Saul of Tarsus in the Bible. I see someone here that made a lot of wrong decisions, but it changed, didn't it? Last passage up here, Psalms chapter 119 and verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. Don't settle for where you are. Don't settle for failure. Use those mistakes and those difficult learning experiences as a benefit, as a blessing. I truly believe, I don't know who originally said this, but the things that happen in life, they're going to serve to either help us to become better or bitter. And we choose. And with God's help, that choice can become so much easier. This morning, we really haven't talked about what the Bible says about becoming a Christian. But that's the first step, to become a child of God, to give your life to Jesus, to obey those commands that's in the Bible. Again, one of the lessons of this series, don't settle for substitutes. So many people are allowing what men say to become their guide in life. You follow what the Bible says. You do what God says to do. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Peter and the other apostles are preaching, and the people there realized they were sinners. What must we do? And they were told, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Have your sins washed away. Maybe you're a child of God. Maybe you're a Christian. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you failed. And you want to start over again. It's not too late. You can. You can start over. And everyone in here wants you to succeed. And God wants you to succeed. But you have to make that decision this morning. If you have any need that we can help you with, would you please come? Together we stand and sing.